to this week's Off the Bench podcast from the Premier League. I'm Sam from FPL Family.
And I'm Chris from Fantasy Football Scale.
Oh, Chris, welcome to your Off the Bench debut. I feel like every week I start this podcast saying, oh, it's been another huge week in FPL. But this week it genuinely has been again. Erling Haaland was the most transferred out player. I can't remember a time since he joined the league where that's ever been the case. 654,251 managers sold him. I was one of them. He went as part of my wild card. But I must admit, when that goal went in, I did have a moment of like, oh my goodness, have I done the wrong thing here? Are the floodgates about to open? But they didn't. Have you still got him on your team?
I have. I did not sell him. I was not one of the 650,000 players selling him out. But for the first time in 6 weeks, I didn't captain him either. So I'm feeling pretty chuffed about that.
Yeah, I think that's the thing, isn't it? Like having him is one thing, you feel like you've kind of covered that out, but the captaincy has been a bit of a disappointment for the last few weeks. I moved mine. It continued to be a disappointment. More on that in a little bit. But how was the rest of game week 11 for you?
It was great. It was a pretty great game week. 80 points, my best of the season in terms of rank rise as well. I was up about, I'm up from 1.4 million to 650,000. Just shows how tight it is and how quickly you can move up the rank. So I'm not like popping champagne corks just yet, but this is the highest in a year. And yeah, I've really struggled to get traction. So I have this kind of aim of always trying to be top 100K by Christmas. I'm not often there, but that's the aim to have a real crack at it late in the season. So yeah, so it's a positive week. Biggest wins were getting the captaincy right. That's been my bet noir. And Salah obviously did deliver for me. And even as an Everton fan, I was generally punching the air when his goal went in. And I really I shouldn't say it because I am actually going to the last Goodison Derby. I presume it's last, assuming the new stadium opens as planned. But yeah, in a couple of weeks. So I'll get some stick for that. But you know, it's fantasy. You've got to back the best players. Yeah, captaincy selection for me has been my real kind of Achilles heel. So as I said, the first 2 weeks got nailed on Haaland and Salah. And then I just kind of went, I just picked the wrong one for every other week. And went against Haaland for 4 weeks or 3 weeks. And every week he taught me a lesson. Then I've picked him for the last 4 weeks. And every week is pretty much blank. It's just been pretty disastrous. But yeah, it's good for him when you get it right. But it wasn't just Salah. I bought in Vissa. We'll talk about this in a minute, I guess. But from Brentford for Calvert-Lewin this week. I imagine Everton wish they could do similar transfer at the moment. And I say that as a toffee and a fan of DCL, but I spent a bit of time, which we'll talk about, I guess, alternating between Cunha and Vissa, but I went with Vissa. I'm happy I did. Smith Rowe was good for me. He's been a brilliant buy and he delivered again. 5.5 million, 54 points of the season. Fantastic. Yeah. And otherwise, 8 Nori delivered. Defence was kind of decent for me. Yeah. And I think my players actually delivering combined with Haaland sort of not blanking exactly, but kind of 5 points is a lot lower than we wanted, has kind of led to that massive swing. And a few other players obviously didn't deliver and blanked, as we'll come and talk about. And that, yeah, that was kind of led to my success. I'm sure we'll talk about Haaland more because he's a huge, huge talking point anyway. But How did you fare? 80 points? I mean, didn't you play a wild card or something? I don't know.
I did play my wild card, yeah. It wasn't quite 80 points, but with a captaincy blank, and I think we'll probably start with Spurs because that's where I put my captaincy this week. Went with Dom Solanke, expecting Spurs to do really well. You know, they were coming up against the team with the lowest XGC. So they were expected to concede the most goals, and we were the team with the best XGI in recent weeks. So for us, it was like, okay, well, that feels like all of the metrics are coming along to suggest that you captain Solanke or at least somebody out of that Spurs game. I was very close to doing Salah. But yeah, 63 for me, a decent return on wild card. I mean, I'll talk about it more later on in the week on the official pod, but brought in Bruno Fernandes this week. That was an absolute dream. 17 points for him. Played Fabianski over Raya, which again was a great decision. It did feel very rogue leaving Raya on the bench and playing Fabianski, but 9 points for him. So some really decent returns across the team, just unfortunately not for my captain. So why don't we start there? It was still a nice green arrow for me, but I can't help but think what could have been had I handed that armband to anybody else. Like, had it been on Salah, that would have been much better. Spurs 1, Ipswich 2 then. First win of the season for Ipswich. Brennan Johnson second for XG underachievers across the game week. Only Mateta at Palace had a better XG than he did. Liam Delap, who I feel like I have wax lyrical about so many times on so many. Chris,
you should be overjoyed. You've been going on about Ipswich for ages. You've been banging about how good Ipswich are, how underrated they are, how great Delap is, and you got a chance to see him score for yourself.
I know, right? Well, and
I'm sure you were celebrating. You were punching the air. Yeah, get in.
I really wasn't. But I think for me, it was one of those where all those things I've said about Ipswich over the last few weeks came true. Right, they were very good in attack. Their counter attack football is nice. They played a very high a pressing game. Delap scored from his only shot that he had that game, though. He also produced an assist, so he got 11 points. That's his highest so far this season. Over the last 6 weeks, that's 38 points for him now, including double-digit returns in the last two. So Delap on form, and he's putting himself in that conversation along with Wisser and Cunha and all of those other kind of cheap forward options, all of them starting to look really nice. And well, for Solanke, it felt a bit like the curse of the most transferred in, didn't it? 702,000 managers bringing him in this week. Did get the ball in the back of the net, but it was ruled out for handball. Do you have anyone in that game?
I had Johnson. Yeah, sorry. I've forgotten. It was so, the 2-point blank, it was so forgettable. I've been looking at Solanke for a while, and I came quite close a few weeks ago. But in the end, I went with Johnson as a kind of my attacking Spurs cover. And to be honest, he hadn't been a player that had been really on my watch list beforehand. But kind of after that purple patch he had in the league and the cup and kind of good run of fixtures for Spurs and listening to you being so effusive, I couldn't resist and I brought him in. I've been a little bit, I don't know, he's done okay, but yeah, I'm not wedded to keeping him. So yeah, I only had Johnson in that, and he's possibly one that I'll be looking at using as transferring out, using maybe as part of a 2 or 3 transfer kind of move to bringing maybe a Fernandez, maybe a Palmer later on. I'm not wedded to Johnson. So you need to tell me why I need to be. You need to tell me why. Spurs have been kind of, form's been a bit mixed, and their fixtures also pretty mixed going forward. Why should I keep hold of Spurs attack?
Do you know, it's interesting though, isn't it? Because I think it is hard to hold the Spurs attack simply because there are so many other players, and we'll talk about them as we go through this. There are so many other players that played this week that performed really well in those midfield and forward slots that actually finding the space for people that maybe aren't in that run of form that they were before. So Brennan Johnson was in that fantastic run.
Yeah.
And at that point, owning him felt like the right thing to do. Since then, the last few weeks, we've had a bit of a drop off from him, not the same consistency of returns, but was really unlucky in this one. Like I say, second for expected goals across the game week. So really, he should have got a return. And there was a very big chance that he, I don't quite know how, put wide in the first half. And if that one goes in, that's just ahead of the Ipswich goal. It probably is a very different game at that point. But yeah, it's difficult. I think, you know, Pedro Porro was heavily sold this week as well because Spurs haven't been keeping clean sheets. Of course, you know, we get some attacking threat from him as we saw from the corners. He was top for crosses across the game week as well. So I think when it comes to Spurs assets, if there's somebody that, you know, if they're preventing you from getting somebody else that's got really good form and fixtures, then you probably look to sell, especially with a game against Man City up next.
Yeah.
However, after that, there is another home game against Fulham, and at home, with the exception of this one, Spurs have actually been really good. And I think if you can hold up, I probably would just about. I'll probably keep Solanke for another couple of weeks. But from game week 13 onwards, sort of into 14, I'll probably look to move him on for 14 and then the Christmas period, because I think at that point, with players like Wisser, like Cunha performing really well, there are cheaper options, and that's going to save you money as well. So why don't we go there next then and talk about Wisser, because you brought him in this week, looks on paper now like an absolute genius decision. What made you go for him over some of the others?
I was kind of caught. I'd had DCL for far too long. I was too loyal to my Everton boy. I'd had him for far too long. So I was looking at different options. And I did have, you know, kind of Solanke was also in their mix and other things. But it ultimately came down to a straight shootout between Vista and Cunha, maybe with a bit of Strandlast in the background. And it was really a bit of a coin toss. I think in the end, Brentford, the fixtures just, I don't know, just appeals to me more. Their kind of attacking form appeals to me more. Wolves, obviously, you know, Cunha's doing all right, and but Wolves as a whole aren't exactly in a you know, aren't doing particularly well this year. So I think it's just that the overall team performance, and I believe Brentford are going to finish higher than Wolves in the league, I guess, and I think they're going to score more goals. So I kind of went with my sort of gut on that, but it could have been either way. I did actually consider, I'll come on to, I guess, Wolves in a second, but I did almost consider doing it, also bringing Cunha in for Haaland, but I kind of bottled it. I was just like, oh, that's just mental. I just thought, because I had an extra transfer and I thought, no, I better keep the extra transfer for the international break. But yeah, no, I'm watching Brentford, they're scoring goals and not keeping in sheets really, but they're, which is frustrating. So I've also kind of got Flecken, and goalkeeping's a bit of a nightmare position for me at the moment. So I've really not done very well there. And Buemo's obviously in behind Wissewas, it's a bit of a double up. And he's just solid, right? He just, 5 points isn't amazing, but he's just kind of delivering kind of most frequently. He's got 4 returns out of 6 for me. I bought him in game week 6. So, yeah, I don't know. I guess I have a bit more faith in Brentford continuing to score steadily. And Vissa seems to be the main man, right? So.
Yeah, I really like him. And I didn't go with him on wildcard in the end, simply because I wasn't sure about the double up for Brentford, because the next couple are really lovely. But then after that, they're kind of mixed. And as you say, you know, going forward, they've been really good. But Thiago is due back soon as well. And it just sort of tempered my enthusiasm slightly. But then looking back on it, it was probably not the right thing to do. You know, he has 8 attacking returns from his 7 starts this season. He's got the best conversion rate of any forward in the league. He's also got an XGI, so an expected goal involvement, every 117 minutes. So that only just is further out than Salah and Palmer, who have got an expected goal involvement every 116 minutes. Yeah. So it is phenomenal form that we are seeing from him. He was top for BPS across the entire game week as well. So we are seeing a player that is in an elite moment of form. And that's been kind of divided in two, actually, between obviously the first part of the season where he was still in this elite run of form. Then he had the injuries, come back in the same boat again. So I think at his price point, he offers incredible value for money, because he's significantly cheaper even than players like Wood. So you can save a little bit of money there. But it's not just him that impressed me in this one. On the other side of the pitch, I thought Evan Nilsson was really impressive as well. And we're starting to see a bit of consistency coming from him and Bournemouth as well. So that was his 3rd successive game week now that he scored. 5 attacking returns for him in the last 6. A nice run of fixtures for Bournemouth too. Slightly cheaper than Wissa at 5.9, sorry. So I think you arguably could go with either of these two, or maybe even both.
I think Evan Nilsson is definitely on the extended watch list. I'd been all eyes on sort of Semenyo beforehand with my Bournemouth hat on, but he's obviously a quality player, and he's again someone we'd love Everton that could just put the ball in there, and I think Bournemouth are, you know, playing attacking football. He's getting the opportunities, as you say, he's racking up the BPS as well. So he's one of those players that could you know, get, if he gets a goal, you know, and Bournemouth do okay, and, you know, that'd be draw or win, then he's gonna suck in the bonus points. So I think you're right. I think there are other options. It's weird, isn't it? Because we went from the start of the season with not being sure about forward options, and everybody was kind of going, oh, do I put my 3rd Joao Pedro, or do I do this? And now there seems to be kind of a glut of these comparatively budget forwards to pick from, and it's going to be, how do you fit them all in? The fact that people are thinking about moving on from Haaland to a Vinicius or a Cunha or a Wood is kind of if you sort of said that at the start of the season, people would say you were absolutely mad. You're not, you know, you're not just getting rid of Haaland, but you're thinking of players that are less, almost a third of the price they're going to come in. It's crazy.
Absolutely. And I did that on wildcard. I sold Haaland, and actually maybe this is the perfect segue into Brighton versus Man City, because I sold Haaland. One of the players that I really, really wanted to buy on wildcard was Joao Pedro, because he offers this incredible price point at 5.4 million. Yeah. So comes in as this perfect third. And in the end, I talked myself out of it, because I was like, well, although at the beginning of the season, he was in really good form, he's had this long, sort of longish term injury, he's been out for a while. In his absence, there have been other players at Brighton, Rutter in particular, and obviously Danny Welbeck, who have played really well. Mm-hmm. So when you're looking at when I was looking at the Brighton team, I was thinking, will we see João Pedro come straight back in? Will we see him have managed minutes back into the team? How will Brighton kind of manage the plethora, I guess, of forwards now that they have that they could play? And what I didn't want to do is end up with a situation where I then ended up with a non-playing forward or someone that just comes off the bench for sort of 10 minutes at the back end of games, because those Brighton fixtures from game week 14 are so nice. Yeah. And they look like they are fully investable from that moment on right the way through for a big chunk of the season. So I kind of decided to go, I went for Strand Larsen instead, and we'll talk about him later when we come to the Wolves game. But on the basis that for the next couple of weeks, I felt that he was a safer pick in terms of the security of starts, but always knew that there was a good moment where I might go to João Pedro. We were watching this one and João Pedro comes on and then immediately makes such a difference. Obviously, gets a goal, gets an assist, has a really nice run of fixtures coming up, as I've said. Just putting himself back on the shop floor, I think.
But I don't think your decision making was wrong. I mean, obviously, you know, the result makes it look like it was. But if you'd said before, oh, you can have João Pedro, he's probably going to play for 25 minutes against City, you know, you wouldn't pay for it. You wouldn't have brought him in over a starting forward for Wolves, you know, in their match. On that, would you? You wouldn't do that. I had João Pedro earlier in the season. I actually had a João Pedro Welbeck double up at one point because it was the only way I could get Diaz in at the time I was trying to get him. And Welbeck's been a brilliant buy for me, I must say. He's just, you know, he's not going crazy. He's not got maybe a massive ceiling, but he's just continued to live.
It's consistent, isn't it?
I had him on the bench this week, so I wasn't so bothered about his kind of blank. But yeah, in the last, I think he's kind of returned in like five times out of the seven games I played him in. Yeah, no, fair enough. It's only sort of 6, 7, or 8, or his 1-9-pointer. But, you know, for a player of I think he's like 5.5 when I bought him, or 5.6, that's an incredible return, you know. And I also, the great thing about these cheaper forwards and these cheaper players is you don't feel as bad about benching him. Like, you know, you're not going to bench Haaland or Salah like you should. But, you know, when you're playing 10 plus or even 8 or 9 plus million for a player, you just don't want to bench them, right? Whereas if you're playing 5, it's the same with people like Rodgers and Emile Smith. Oh, you don't, you kind of feel a bit more, okay, well, I'll bench him this week. And sometimes it stings you and sometimes it doesn't. But yeah, but I agree with João Pedro. I agree Brighton's fixtures are great. You know, that's you know, you can't really argue with that 25-minute cameo with that sort of return. But for me, that'd be a luxury transfer because I've already got Welbeck and I'm, you know, transferring, swapping them around would be as unlikely.
Yeah, I think so. And I think for me, obviously, Welbeck is just that 0.5 more expensive. And so when you're looking to find budget across the team to, like at the moment, my team is full of now premium mids and maybe just that extra 0.5 is quite handy elsewhere. I think the big talking point from this one, though, of course, is Haaland. So he scores the goal. And I think we were all expecting, as I said in the intro, I think everyone was then expecting that he's going to go on and score a hatful and doesn't. And, you know, it really does feel like it's been a season of two halves for Haaland, doesn't it? So 1 through 5, 7, 17, 17, 13, 9, like huge, massive returns. Then from 6 onwards, 2, 2, 2, 6, 2, 5. Like, you know, and I think if you'd have said, you know, two goals in, what's that, six weeks games, is just not the level of returns that you would expect or hope for when you're paying a premium price tag for him. And
100%.
I guess the thing for me is that on wildcard, I thought the midfielders, they get the extra points for goals, they get the extra points for the clean sheets and all of that stuff. So it felt much more sensible to go with Salah and Palmer and Bruno Fernandes and Saka, have the budget for him as well, in order that I can make sure that I'm covering those players. Because let's be frank, if they both get one goal, the midfielders are outscoring him. So it for me, it was that. Are you tempted to sell or do you still want to hold?
I don't know. Everything you're saying is right. If you look at it just from a numbers point, the last six games, an average of just over 3 points a game for someone that's costing you 15, you know, plus million, it's very hard to argue to keep him, right? But...
but you're going to.
But no, but... you know, for me, it's part of a wider conundrum with City. What's going on there? I know, obviously, Rodri is a big miss, but, you know, and historically, they've always won more with him in the team. But this is Pep, this is City. They've got a squad. Fair enough, they can moan about injuries. But it just feels like they're kind of capitulating right now. I mean, they look fragile up front. It's not scoring the goals at the back. can't keep a clean sheet. They've kept two clean sheets all season. Any City asset, Haaland's obviously the main talking point, but any City asset is hard to argue for right now from a fantasy perspective. I think with Haaland, the difference and why I'm probably going to end up keeping him, unless I... The only reason I get rid of him is if I can't get to Fernandes or Palmer some other way, which is my next kind of target. And if I can't, that's when he goes. But I just don't think... There's not that many players that can hit, you know, a 15 to 20 point haul, and you're not surprised by it, right? Any game week, City turn it on, he finds his shooting boots and Boosh, and you know, and you're not surprised if he does it. I think so. I think for the moment, I'm probably gonna keep. I think the ceiling is just too high, but it is interesting that there is one other argument. Is from a rank perspective, and obviously the horrible EO, right? A lot of people still own Haaland and will keep Haaland and will captain Haaland. There's a lot of Haaland perma-captains out there. Keeping some sort of defense against that, which is not the way you should play, but is kind of in my thinking a little bit, because there's such a massive swing if he suddenly does, you know, so many teams with him that if he does kind of, does suddenly turn it on, then it's going to hurt you. But yeah, I'm certainly considering it. Like I said, I was considering going to Cunha, so that was kind of a big, big thing. I did.
Yeah.
I wimped out. I didn't do it, but I it could happen. Yeah, it could happen. I'm going to give him another game, I think.
I think it's interesting, isn't it? Because you're right. I mean, his ownership is at 64.7, so it's come down significantly in the last couple of weeks with people moving off of him. And it was one of my big considerations on Wildcard is what do I do about him? Do I keep him and try and budget for, I mean, I could budget for Salah at the same time and have the both of them like you have. But then I'm struggling to bring in players like Palmer and Saka and Bruno Fernandes. And, you know, Palmer's ownership is at 53% now. So he's not lowly owned. And every week that he returns and I didn't have him, he was hurting. Similar with Saka, I didn't have him going into the wild card. He's at 25.6%. So again, he's another one that can hurt you. So when, I guess the thing is that you have to look at it in terms of, If I don't have Haaland and I have a Cunha instead, or in my case, I had Wood instead, if you have another forward in that kind of cheap bracket instead of him, you can then have three or four of these premiums across the midfield. And in doing that, maybe you give yourself better coverage of the game's full potential rather than Haaland, who limits your ability to maybe have one of those other premiums. It's tough, but for me, the decision not to have him was the difference between Bruno Fernandes and not Bruno Fernandes. So
yeah, and I think Fernandes is definitely a thing we should come on to. But one thing before we do that, onto the United, I do want to say that this is brilliant for the game. It's not great for a Haaland owner, but like it, you know, and I think again going back to what the Premier League did and what the game did in terms of pricing Haaland so much this year, it has done exactly what was intended. It's made you force you to a decision, and now Haaland's going through a bit of patchy form. Or you know, bad form for him. That's by his standards, and you know, and now you know his ownership's dropping. People are going much more varied options again. That's exactly what we want to see. We don't want to see template teams. Everyone's on the same, you know, the same side each week. So it's kind of good news. not if you're a City fan or you're Pep, because he's obviously not enjoying life at the moment. Like four defeats in a row. That's you know, as an Everton fan, I'm used to that.
but it's Spurs and Liverpool up next. So, you know, they've got two difficult games on the horizon. So, it, like you say, it will be interesting. And I kept Vardial on Wildcard. And the decision to do that actually was based on the fact that I didn't want to have no Manchester City. Like, I just felt that if I was getting rid of Haaland and Foden, which I did on my Wildcard, I didn't want to leave myself with nobody from City. And actually, Vardial had got a clean sheet and two goals in the 3 weeks going into this one and could and maybe should have returned a goal right at the end of that one as well. He had a really nice opportunity right at the death. Yeah. And so maybe I was a little bit unlucky there. But the good thing about having him is that if the clean sheets aren't there in the next couple of weeks, or if there's no attacking returns from him in the next couple of weeks, he's very easy to move down.
Yeah.
So at the moment, I just have Raya as an Arsenal defensive cover, that it would be very easy to move across to a Gabriel or a Saliba instead, if I, or as well as Raya if I wanted to, or save some money in that spot. So some good options. But one of the things I did do on Wildcard is I invested quite heavily in Manchester United and went for Bruno Fernandes, who obviously got the highest return of the game week. And I must admit, I was really, really pleased with that one because he felt like a bit of a pun. A couple of assists for him and a goal. Did you hear him at the end in his post-match interview complaining that the fantasy managers would be unhappy that he wasn't being given the own goal as his own goal? I was like, you're right, Bruno. I wish you weren't getting that one as well.
Get out Stotley Park, have a word.
Like, yeah, come on, let's have it as a Bruno goal. So yeah, I was really, really pleased with that one. What I wasn't quite so happy with is the 57th minute substitution for my defender, Dalot. Really frustrated me because obviously we're 3 minutes away from the clean sheet. Then he's going off with six. That's another massive return. I feel like on Wildcard, I did exactly the right thing by targeting Manchester United for the next 3 weeks. Obviously, the one that we've just played and then the two game weeks that follow.
Yeah.
It went massively well with Bruno. It didn't quite pay off with Dalot 3 minutes away from that. And he'd been a 90-minute man all season. It was just infuriating to see that, especially
greedy. You're greedy, Sam. You're too greedy.
Chris, I'll be honest. I was sitting in the stands at Spurs. It was all going horrendously. And then Dalot got subbed on 57. And I was like, are you joking me? What is that about? Thanks, Van Nistelrooy. I can't wait for the new manager to come in and play Dalot for the full 90 next time.
And he went off for a pie. He said, I've had enough of this.
He's had a rest. But yeah, I think, you know, Bruno's statistics, I think in FPL, we've not really paid too much attention to Bruno this season because he and United haven't been in particularly good form. Defensively, they have, but not in attack. Yeah. But yesterday was his 250th game for United. In that time, he's got 83 goals, 73 assists. That's 156 combined goal involvements for the club. That's a goal and assist per game involvement of 0.63, which is a crazy number. Feels like he might be back. And obviously on penalties as well, as we saw last week. So you don't have Bruno.
I don't yet, no. But I mean, I think he's top of my desire list. Top of the desire list. If it wasn't, you know, if it wasn't the international break, it'd probably be already done, I've got two transfers this week. Mm. Probably Johnson to Bruno. I've got 3.4 million in the bank. I've got plenty of money to do that. I think it's interesting, isn't it? Like he got zero goals and a handful of assists in 13 games under Ten Hag. And in the four games since he's got four goals and two assists. And obviously none of this is under Zamorin yet. That hasn't started. Apparently, I read he might have got a visa issue. So he might not. I imagine it will start before the next game, but he hasn't quite started yet. But you know, everything we see from the new manager and how he's played and his style elsewhere, very, very attacking, lots of goals. Obviously, you know, he took City apart in the Champions League as well before coming over. So you've got to expect more attacking footballers being kind of liberated, right? They felt a little bit shackled underneath the previous manager, and it feels like they've just been allowed to get out and play. Now, will that continue? Hopefully. You'd imagine it's not going to change under the new manager. So I think it's a bit of a no-brainer. I think there's going to be a massive bandwagon for Fernandes now. And I think it's just whether you get on now and get a price rise or two, or you wait and see, make sure nothing happens in the next week.
I mean, I think you have to,
half.
Don't you, really? Oh, I see. You like wait till the end of the international break. Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, before the next week, but I don't know. That's the worst thing when you do the early thing at the start of the international break and then 100%. Someone kind of gets a knock on international duty. You know, great.
No, so, 100%. I think holding your transfers over in international, unless you're wildcarding, of course, makes sense. But Ipswich and Everton in the next two for Manchester United.
Well, Ipswich is certainly, obviously Everton.
As we know, Spurs are difficult, but... And I do think, you know, there will be a lot of managers over the next 2 weeks of this international break that are thinking about injuries, because obviously in the other big game of the weekend, the Chelsea versus Arsenal game, we see Saka go off with what looked like another injury. We're going to have to keep an eye on that one. Palmer was a doubt going into this one, but made it and came through. But I think those assets, Palmer and Bruno Fernandes in particular, they're going to be the ones that people are trying to get. So I went into this one having benched Raya. So I was thinking that could be problematic, although Fabianski, thankfully, had already kept me the clean sheet. So I was less worried about him.
Yeah.
I had Palmer for the first time this season and was pleased to have that. I felt like, I just felt a bit of reassurance of having him back in my team again. I decided to go without Saka, but Bruno had already returned in his stead. So I kind of felt like, right, this is, I'm in a good place, but it didn't make it comfortable watching Arsenal. Martin Odegaard comes back from injury, makes his first start since game week 3, and immediately makes a difference to that Arsenal team. He created 4 chances. 2 of those were big chances. He gets the assist for the goal. He gets a couple of bonus points as well. Just makes such a difference. And I think that's made me more inclined to find a route to have Saka alongside Bruno Fernandes rather than...
Interesting.
My plan was in a couple of weeks to replace Bruno with Saka. But obviously, we're going to have to wait and see because I would expect they probably won't go away with England now, but we'll just have to see what happens there. And we'll have to see how this injury is. But Saka does seem to be made of steel. He bounces back fairly quickly usually. So one to watch. Who did you have in this one?
I had only had Gabriel really in this one. So I'm not as excited about Arsenal as everyone else. Like I'm just looking at it going... You know, this whole thing about it must have the big double up on the Arsenal back line, must have Arsenal defenders. It's not really, I've not seen much evidence of that in reality.
No clean sheets since game week 4.
No clean sheets in the last 7. It didn't help that the 2 times I put Gabriel on the bench were the times he scored and got like 15 and 7 points. So yeah, that doesn't help. But I'm going to keep hold of Gabriel. But I don't see it. Same with Raya. Arsenal aren't keeping clean sheets regularly, and so you know, and they're expensive, so there's so many different options, and attacking kind of defensive options. I'm not as excited about that, and I don't think that you're absolutely right. Obviously, as it turned out, to kind of bench Raya, and he's pricey as well. All those defensive options are pricey. Now maybe it'll turn around, and maybe it'll look very different. Their fixtures from game week 16, their kind of Christmas run looks incredible, so maybe that's the time to kind of jump back in. But yeah, I only had Gabriel, I kind of blanked, was a bit of a mare from this. I the other things at the other end, not crazy exciting at the moment, Arsenal, for me at least, looking at it. Saka's obviously, a couple of weeks ago had a good return, but it's not defensively tight nor kind of free scoring. So I'm not... I actually think that separately to you, I think Odegaard coming back isn't great for Saka at all. I think that might actually sort of, it could suck some of the bonus, could suck some of the attention away. I think Odegaard looked, magnificent in the some few highlights I've seen, and looked to be pulling the strings. And I think he's going to be pulling the bonus points towards him, and maybe some of the goal involvements that otherwise might be with Saka. So I'm actually less inclined to want to get Saka with Odegaard coming back. I know obviously the whole team is strengthened, but yeah. So your fantasy record is probably better than mine on average, so I'm gonna bow my head. But also this is all the attacking assets. Palmer blank, Saka blank, obviously went off. Trossard, Jackson, Havertz. No one. Trossard had a couple of, from what I saw from Niles, had a couple of really gilt-edged chances and didn't put them away. So I don't know. I do want Palmer, like you say. You've got Palmer. I'm a bit jealous of that. I do want Palmer. I want him from the start. I went with Nkunku right at the start because that's what everyone was doing, right? And it was a good enabler for other things. Didn't work out that one. Thanks. Shout out to Tom Johnson. But Palmer, I do want to get back. It's just kind of when and how. And that goes back to what I was saying earlier about Haaland. The only way I could really do what you've done is literally get rid of Haaland and bring enough money to totally upgrade my midfield. So at the moment, I've got Mbeumo and Salah, who are going nowhere. Smith Rowe, I'm pretty happy with. He's delivered what I expect for that price. And I've got Johnson, who I'm mixed on, as I said, and Rodgers, who we'll talk about in a bit, but is a bit of an enigma. So obviously, 2 or 3 of those I could upgrade, and Fernandes has to come in for one of them. At the moment, probably Johnson. But then the only way I get to Palmer in is through Haaland out. So yeah.
And I think a lot of people will probably be in that similar position, won't they? And Palmer, I just feel like if Chelsea are going to score, I know that he wasn't involved directly in this one, but he's so integral to what they do that there doesn't feel like there's going to be many Chelsea goals that don't have Palmer stamped all over it somewhere, be it in the direct assist, the second assist, be it the goal, whatever it is. Like he feels like over the next few weeks where the Chelsea fixtures are really decent, nice. Yeah, they've got really great fixture run coming up. I think that they will score plenty of goals. I'm really delighted to have him in. And I, when I was looking at at Chelsea and thinking, right, okay, for some of the teams you can kind of go, well, all right, instead of having that one, I'll just spend a little bit less and I'll have that one. Whereas when I was looking at Chelsea, I was kind of like, I don't know who I would go to at Chelsea right now if I don't go for Palmer. Like maybe at some point it might be a Sancho, or maybe it might be and maybe it has already been Jackson for a little while.
Yeah, I was going to say Jackson. Jackson feels like, you know, obviously not done anything last couple, but, you know, he's been scoring. He's got a couple of double-digit hauls this year.
Yeah, he has, but he's a forward. And again, I guess that, and he's in that conversation then, well, is it worth spending the extra on him? Because he's 7.9. You could go in with this, because you've got so many 6 million options. Like, there's all those kind of conversations that play out. And can you... Is there somebody else in the Chelsea team that can really cover Palmer? And I guess that's how you look at it. And I did think about Jackson, but in reality, I struggled to find a spot for him in my forward line. And I felt like actually just having Palmer in that midfielder slot because of his goal involvement, because of the assist potential that he has, and also because the penalties, of course, he has them in his locker as well. And I do like to create a team with as many penalty takers as possible, which is why... Of course, my big priority on Wildcard was to get Mo Salah, and he goes and gets a goal and an assist in this one. A nice big haul. I wish I'd given him the captain's armband as I planned to, rather than giving it to Solanke. He's the first player to surpass the 100 points this season.
Yeah.
7 double-digit hauls in 11 game weeks is frankly madness, particularly as last week he was unlucky not to get another one. He got 9. So, we've now had, 75, I think, double-digit hauls across his FPL career. He's on track again for his 8th consecutive 200-point return.
Yeah.
He's just phenomenal. He captained himself in FPL this week. Of course he did. I should have captained him. I've learnt my lesson. He will be getting the armband soon. What is there to say about Salah?
He's surely getting the armband against Southampton next week.
100%.
That's not an easy. That's not a difficult decision, I don't think. I mean, it's weird, isn't it? Because early in the season, right at the start of the season, we're still quite early on, but it feels like we've gone through this different sort of different moods and different perspectives on how who's over and who's brilliant. And Salah, early on, it's Haaland's, you know, it's the Haaland game. You don't need Salah. And now he's 23 points clear of second place top scorer Palmer, 25 clear of Haaland, who's kind of third top at the moment. And he just feels absolutely essential. You know, he as you say, he looks every inch the Salah, you know, that the Salah we've known and loved for many years. And I think even though slots football, you know, there was concerns that Slot would get a goal or two up and then wouldn't push to make it 3 or 4 in the way that Klopp's team certainly did. And that's sort of transpired. But, you know, Salah's still the one that's getting the goals and getting the assists. You know, I think he's essential. I don't think, you know, you're playing this game right if you've not got him in there. I'm sure there are people that are much higher up in the rankings that will go the entire season without him. But I think it's a no-brainer at the moment, really. The question with Liverpool for me is, and they've got some good fixtures coming up, apart from the derby, of course, which they're definitely going to lose. no partisanship involved there. It's our last one. Let us win, please. But no, I think it's who else you go with. I had Trent up until this week. I moved Trent out for Altnori, which I'm very happy with the outcome of. I was kind of happy, was looking to do it for a while, but it's just one of those transfers you've got other problems to solve, right? And I don't know who else you go. If you want to double or treble up on is it Robert? Something, obviously, Trent is just so expensive for what he's delivering right now. He's not the attacking. Well, he was at the start, but he seems to have retrenched further and further back, and he's not getting the XG or the XG GI rather that he was. So I don't know where else you go with Liverpool.
I mean, I think Robertson obviously did. He was top for bonus points across the defenders this week. I think probably Trent would have been had he managed to stay on the pitch for the full 60 minutes. And we're going to have to keep an eye on that now, because at his price point, because he's 7 million and he's owned by 27.9% of the games, nearly 28% of managers that own him. And I just think that for him, you are expecting hauls, because for the forwards, you can spend less and you're getting big points returns. Same with the midfielders. You know, there's so many cheap options that are regularly returning that if you're going to spend that level of budget, and I think I bracket Robertson in that as well. And Robertson hasn't been consistently getting the start. We've seen some rotation with Simicas this season. I think if you want to go for a defender, then you're too late to go for Kelleher, because we're expecting Alisson back some point after the international break. I think Konaté is probably the way that you would go. 5.3 million, so significantly cheaper than the others. Doesn't have the same kind of attack-mindedness of maybe Robertson in the past and Trent, but does go up for set pieces, and Liverpool are good from those. So you might get some goal involvements just through that alone. But over the next few weeks, I would expect to see Liverpool starting to keep clean sheets. Obviously, it's Southampton in 12, so I would expect one there probably. After that, it's Man City and Newcastle, but then the longer-term fixtures after those are nice. So for me, I've just got Salah currently from Liverpool. Jota is due back after the international break. He's another one that I'll be looking at. But I think the way that my midfield is set out right now, I decided on wildcard to keep Morgan Rodgers. And I did that in part because he and Chris Wood rotate so beautifully with each other. It's almost like if you could have written the fixture ticker for yourself and given them rotating fixtures to play them, because in a front eight, you have to bench somebody every week. And so for me, Morgan Rodgers or Chris Wood are the ones that are getting benched. Obviously last week, I benched Morgan Rodgers because he had the game against Liverpool, and I thought that Chris Wood might get something against Newcastle. It will be the reverse of that in game week 12 because Rodgers has got Crystal Palace, whereas Wood has got Arsenal, and then they flip back and forth so nicely between now and the, well, the end of the calendar year, really. So Morgan Rodgers still feels like a hold for me. Ollie Watkins is a little bit more of a difficult one. I mean, he was involved, probably could have got something in this game, but at his price point, he'll be a player that a lot of people look to sacrifice, not really through any fault of his own, but because they need the budget to budget for those midfielders. And you could save two and a half million by dropping him down to a Wissa. You could drop him down to a Cunha. You can pretty much go to anyone you want. Even if you wanted to just save a little bit, you could come down as far as, say, a Jackson or a Solanke, and you still potentially free up the budget for one of those premium midfielders that we were talking about.
I kind of agree to a point. I wouldn't buy, but then for Watkins, I probably would hold. If they've got they've got three home games in the next four: Palace, Brentford, Southampton. Like, if you've kept faith so far, it kind of feels, unless you desperately to do another move that you can't do otherwise, I kind of feel those are games you want to keep faith with them for. But yeah, I'm not looking to bring more Villa players in either, you know, either up front or at the back. It's not, it's gone a little bit, it's, you know, there's been two losses and a draw in the last three. They've only won one in the last six and sort of scored. The goals have dried up a little bit. So obviously they've got the Champions League and the things going on as well. So that, you know, that's having to kind of sort of balance the teams with that. But I think, I agree. I wouldn't be going to Watkins, but maybe I wouldn't be as harsh on getting him out. I might give him another couple of fixtures if I'd kind of held him to this point. Definitely. I do have to take issue with your thing about Liverpool's fixtures, because you did again talk about their easy fix. I would point out again, the 7th of December is not a, it's going to be a difficult match.
Well, the derbies are always a challenge, right? I mean, derbies are always difficult, but I think when you look at the way that Liverpool are playing, you want to make sure that you've got as much attacking power as there as possible, I think. And maybe not defensively, but then this season, it doesn't feel like we want to be investing massively in the defenders. It feels like, you know, you can go for, well, and maybe we'll do Wolves last now, because we're running quickly out of time. So let's just cover out Wolves before we go, because one of the decisions that I made on wildcard was to go from Trent to Ait Nouri, and it seems bonkers, doesn't it? And if you'd have said to me at the beginning of this season, Sam, you'll be selling Haaland for Chris Wood and you'll be selling Trent for Ryan Ait Nouri, I'd have been like, are you mad? Like, of course I'm not going to be doing those two things. But of course, those two things, one, they've enabled Bruno Fernandes and Salah, and they've massively helped my game week this week. And all right, Chris Wood doesn't get anything. And in the long term, I went for Strand Larsen over Cunha. It was simply a budget thing. I just couldn't afford to get to Cunha. And the underlying numbers were very similar. But Ait Nouri, a clean sheet coming in for him. So we've got the attacking threat. We've seen that already this season. 5 attacking returns from him. We get the clean sheet in this one. And this was the beginning of the run for Wolves that we were expecting to be, you know, they're going to kick on from. This is, I think, the game that we as FPL managers were targeting ahead of this nice run that they have. So yeah, Ait Nouri looking good. Cunha, I mean, that's his first double-digit haul of the season. It was a great goal and an assist from him. Obviously picks up the 3 bonus points. Fixtures are lovely. Yeah. If you don't have Wolves, I think you just invest, whether it's Cunha or Ait Nouri or both. If you can't afford Cunha, I still think Strand Larsen is a fine pick for the next few weeks as well.
Yeah, no, I think so. And you also kind of mentioned Wood earlier, which I have to just say, I did champion the Wood bandwagon very, I think I might have started
it. You did,
it.
Yeah, I think you might.
I might have put the wheels on it at the start. And then I've never owned him at all throughout the season. I've wanted to, but it's always been just like a 0.1 or 0.2 too high. But yeah, I agree with Wolves. I mean, the fixtures look great. Obviously, they've had a tough start to the season. I'm from a defensive perspective, you're getting Aitnori a bit like maybe you used to get Trent, right? You're getting Aitnori because he gets forward. He was very unlucky not to get an assist in this game. Yeah. A lovely ball across that was just too far ahead of the guy in the middle. And I think you're going to hope for some attacking returns from Aitnori, and I think that's a good pick. And yeah, Cunha, as I say, he's definitely on my watch list. If I do the Haaland move, he's going to be the top of the pops. I don't think the Fulham game is going to be that easy for them, though. I do think Fulham are, and I mean, Tom's covering the game, but I do think Fulham are a decent, hard to beat
they
side
are,
right
for
now.
Sure.
And they kept a clean sheet away to Palace, and you know, and that was, I do think that's going to be harder. But after that, it does look like there's some very favourable fixtures. Although they do again play Everton, which and our relentless high scoring attack, which is very hard to. Very hard to shut down at the moment. And talking of Everton, we it's less than match of the day. We aren't going to talk about West Ham Everton. It was a good one for defensive connoisseurs. Good for you, Fabianski. For me, the only frustrating thing really is I've wanted Pickford for quite a while. I had him at the start of the season, and obviously we started terribly. I got rid, and I've now got two retained keepers who are perfectly good footballers in their own right, but aren't really serving me in FPL. And I would really like to get that Pickford back, although we've got a couple of good more fixtures, and then it kind of turns. So I do think if you've got Everton, and keepers just feel like such a difficult,
thing.
Yeah, it's difficult. And it's also a transfer you don't want to make, right? Because you're not going to get the big returns probably. But yeah, I do think it's probably worth holding on to Everton defence transfer for a couple of weeks. But then maybe you're looking to rotate out of that. I don't know what to say about West Ham, but yeah, and Everton forward assets. Yeah, I don't know. I haven't got much to say. I won't be bringing any of them in over the international break. And as I say, we are now into the final international break for Canada. So we have got time to wait for injury news on big players like Saka and Trent, and to plan whether we're going to keep Haaland or some fiendish moves. We're going to use two or three transfers to kind of, or even play your wild card. It could be a great time as a player to pick up some points as people move players about. I've kind of burnt mine in game week two, I think. Was it three, maybe? I burnt it very early on, so I'm wildcard-less, trying to build up that mini wildcard, but yeah.
And while you're being patient with those transfers, don't forget that you can listen to Jules Kelly and I on this week's official podcast. We'll be reviewing in a little bit more detail how my wildcard went, and also the season as it's been so far.
And if you haven't already, join the FPL Pod Mini League. The code that you need is Q7YC00. That's
Chris.
O and then a zero.
Chris, it's been lovely to chat to you. Hopefully we'll see you all again on Off the Bench soon.
Definitely. Thanks very much for having me.